great.
But here's what he did. Rhyme it. Do you know how to rhyme it? Oh, please just rhyme it. And he really gets into it.
Do you know how to rhyme it?
Yes, of course.
We will.
You don't even have to think about it.
So let's rhyme it today. Rhyme it. Yes. We are going to rhyme it. Just.
Yeah, rhyme
that's
it.
Where he just
ran down. Everybody,
amazing. I'm not remember any of it.
That's good. That's the way to go.
All over the rams today and ram it.
I mean, now he's like on his feet.
How are you
guys? Whose house?
Wow.
Ram it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Rams Brothers. I'm your host, Dean, and I'm joined by my brother and the other host of this show, Nick. And Nick, got Super Bowl weekend coming up. The Rams have finally hired an offensive line coach. How are you, most importantly?
I'm good. Today I spent most of my work day looking at gambling props. So before the Super Bowl. So I'm ready. I see that you're rocking my Knicks Picks shirt, which just makes me brings me all the joy. I love that.
Knicks Picks, you know how it is. This is the final Knicks Picks of the season. So I've been looking forward to this all week. I've been pretty intrigued to hear what your specific props are going to be, who you like to win the game, all that good stuff. But before we kick into Knicks Picks, the Rams are still making moves in terms of the coaching search.
No defensive moves.
Just to be clear.
The Colts are in purgatory.
Colts are going on a full month. And it's extremely unfair, I think, to the Rams' staff, who's looking to reorganize almost all the way top to bottom in terms of position coaches, the defense. You have crucial members leaving on both sides of the ball. We need an answer on Raheem Morris because, like we've talked about in previous episodes, all of our best backup options are completely off the table. So it gets a little bit scary if Raheem doesn't come back and potentially the coaches that he would bring with him. Puts us in a very, very awkward situation in terms of having to fill the defensive coordinator vacancy role. And it's not a fun position to be in. I think like we're waiting. We're kind of in a holding pattern where we're just kind of scrolling through Twitter and looking for some kind of update on Raheem Morris and the hiring process in Indianapolis.
Strange. To inevitably hire Jeff Saturday again, which is just going to be ludicrous in its own right. I feel like we're living in the SpongeBob episode when they are working the Krusty Krab 24/7. And it's just the picture of Mr. Krabs. And he's like, day 43. Give it up for day 43.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm hearing that Shane Steichen is going to be the potential head coach for the Colts. So to me, that says that they're going to wait until after the Super Bowl is completely done. Oh, wow. Jim Irsay came out and said, it's not hours, it's days. So that to me means that they're going to wait until after the Super Bowl to potentially hire the Eagles as offensive coordinator. So we'll see. I don't know if it's going to be Raheem. It seems like it's trending away from Raheem. It seems like a lot of Colts fans want him, but we want him back. So we're hopeful that that's the scenario that plays itself out.
It's funny. I think over the course of the offseason, most and our pool showed it, but most of the Rams fans were like, okay, see you later, Raheem. You're definitely getting a head coaching job. And then now, as he's been kind of held off and doesn't know where he's going, and as other potential defensive coordinators are being like picked apart, everybody is like, Raheem, please.
we talked about it too. I mean, there's a short that's on our YouTube page that talks about what the Rams situation would be if they got rid of Raheem Morris and why we would be okay with it. But because there were other defensive coordinator candidates like Ajiro Rivero, who has experience with the Rams, who's been familiar with Staley and Fangio and all of those schemes, to me that says that, okay, we would have been fine if we would have replaced Raheem ahead of time. But because the situation continues to play itself out, it's very, very strange. So we'll give you guys an update as soon as we hear one. But in terms of the Rams' offensive line coach, which I think this was a great hire. Before we get into the details, obviously Nick Caley is the new tight ends coach. Mike LaFleur is the offensive coordinator. Special teams coordinator, still a vacant spot, but I think I have a really good idea as to who that's going to be. And hint, he just followed us on Twitter. But the Rams hired Ryan Wendell.
Is it Peter Schrager?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Peter Schrager. No.
Damn.
Now, I'll tell you about it in a couple minutes. Ryan Wendell, 36-year-old assistant offensive line coach for Buffalo for the last 3 years. He's a former player for the New England Patriots. Nick, I'm going to paint to you the true underdog story in terms of what Ryan Wendell went through and why he's in the position that he's in today.
I just watched the Kurt Warner movie. So make it snappy.
You're in the underdog mood, but maybe the story has kind of played itself out a little bit to you, it sounds like.
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it. I don't know.
He played in New England from 2008 to 2015. To me, it's a true underdog story because he was an undrafted player. He excelled in nearly every single role that he was asked to fill in for the Patriots over that period of time. So when he went undrafted in 2008, he was waived in August of 2008 that he signed with the Patriots practice squad. He eventually got promoted to the active roster in 2009 and ended up beating Dan Copen for the starting center job in 2012. 2012, Nick, was the year of Ryan Wendell. And the reason why I say that is because he ended up playing 1,379 total snaps, which was the most out of any NFL player. And because of that, he earned a bonus of $180K as a result of the NFL's performance-based system, which rewards players who have high playing time and low salaries. So
that's cool.
Right. I mean,
I didn't even know about that.
Somebody that's earning their time, somebody that is operating within a performance-based incentive program that clearly showed his worth to Bill Belichick and to Tom Brady and eventually earned his role on a Super Bowl-winning offensive line. So after he moved to center in 2014, he went on to be a part of the Patriots Super Bowl-winning offensive line against the Seahawks, and I believe that was the Super Bowl with the Malcolm Butler interception where they should have ran the ball to Marshawn Lynch. And I'm pretty sure that was Brady's fifth Super Bowl win. But in 2015, Nick, after they won the Super Bowl, they thought very, very highly of him. He was a team captain for the first time in his career, and he unfortunately missed the first five games of that season, eventually found himself on IR, and it ended his time with the Patriots, finished up his career with the Carolina Panthers, and that was it. It was a great eight-year run for somebody that was undrafted. He made a name for himself, and now obviously he found himself back with the New England Patriots on the coaching staff, and just great words throughout the league to talk about this guy, let alone the fact that he looks like Teen Wolf, which is what I believe the Buffalo fans had called him. Teen Wolf, this is him. Ooh. Looks a little bit to me like Bryce Harper.
That's a stretch.
When he had the long hair, no?
He definitely looks, I mean, like maybe like Bryce Harper's older, like lineman brother. He looks like, here's a good one. He is what Travis Kelce is Bryce Harper. And the other Kelce brother, what's his name?
Jason.
Jason Kelce is our guy, Ryan Wendell. That's what he looks like. He looks like the bigger, but anyway. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what he's doing. He looks like a New England Patriot player, like a no-nonsense, like do-your-job kind of guy. And now that we got two people from that culture coming into ours under the Sean McVay culture, which, I mean, he talks about how much he loves Belichick and what they were able to do over there for, like, a long period of time and replicating that. So, anything from New England, even if it is of recent years, is still, in my regard, held to the highest caliber.
Well, and you know what? He wasn't a coach for the Patriots,
but as a player,
he still has the Patriot way, the mentality, growing up with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and playing in Super Bowls. But then also, Nick, he's still experienced in the AFC East, which is a really, really tough division. Sean McDermott, who's instilled a fantastic culture in Buffalo, it continues to be one of the best cultures in sports. And to me, when you can ingrain yourself in that kind of culture, when you can really kind of get the best out of your offense consistently, when you have top personnel on that offensive line protecting Josh Allen and scheming a game plan that incorporates your top offensive lineman, right? Somebody that the way that offensive line operated, protecting Josh Allen, you know, adding pieces consistently, it's something that you want to be able to bring over to the Rams, especially considering the fact that there was just so much injury. So much just downside to the grouping as a whole. So in terms of just veteran relationships, guys that he knows throughout the league, he's only 36 years old. So he does kind of fit the mold of, the Sean McVay way, right? So younger coaches, you kind of bring in that style that you can kind of, you know, build a culture around. And Nick, to me, I think it's really interesting. The following Rams offensive linemen are all undrafted players. So this is somebody that you could truly connect with. It's Coleman Shelton, Matt Sakura, Chandler Brewer, and Ty Nesecki. Obviously, Matt Sakura and Ty Nesecki are newer faces. Chandler Brewer and Coleman Shelton have been around a little bit longer. But if you can get one of those guys, especially Shelton or Brewer, to become a starting quality offensive lineman, whether it's center, whether it's guard, you move Brian Allen over, so many different scenarios to what you could do with your offensive line. But to me, this is a great starting point and somebody that is highly touted throughout the league that you can kind of bring in and ingrain into your culture.
Yeah. And just the more I sit here and think about the struggles of the offensive line last year, the more amazing I think that Thursday night Raiders Baker Mayfield game was. I mean, not only was he coming in on 2 days, but he was dealing with like one of the worst offensive lines in the league.
Yeah.
Like going, you know, just guys just playing like hopscotch from position to position. So, yeah.
It's really good.
The thing that I like the most, though, and you've been tweeting about it, we've been tweeting about it from our account, is the Roger Saffold of it all.
Now I think that's really interesting. So
I think it's really realistic, too.
It potentially is very realistic. And you know what? As I was just kind of looking through Roger Saffold's last couple of years, compiling stats and looking at his injury history and all that stuff to evaluate if we actually feel like it would be a good signing, because there's continuity there, because there's already a pre-existing relationship. To me, it feels like kind of a no-brainer, considering you could potentially get him on a team-friendly deal if he's not asking for a huge contract. But at the age of 35, if you remember last year, Roger Saffold was in a car accident before training camp started. So I think he had 3 or 4 injured ribs, cracks, bruises, breaks. And, you know, the medical staff was kind of pushing on him to get out on the field. And I think there was a scenario where he actually was cleared to play and he felt it as he was getting pushed on, blocked, that pain in his ribs. He ended up playing all 18, 19 games for the Bills this entire season. So I kind of want to downplay that, but the fact that he wasn't entirely healthy going into the season, he is 35 years of age. He was on a 1-year deal with Buffalo after coming out of a 3-year stint, I think it was, with Tennessee. So in 2021, Saffold, he allowed 26 pressures and allowed 2 sacks with a 96.8 efficiency rating, according to Pro Football Focus. So really, really good stuff in 2021. You saw what he did when he was a part of the Titans offensive line with Taylor Lewan to his left side when he was healthy. He was the 9th highest graded guard in terms of NFL run blocking in 2021. So you're not that far removed from that. In 2022, it was a little bit of a different story with Saffold. He surrendered 30 pressures in 2022, most on the team. And he also allowed 4 quarterback hits, which was tied for 2nd most on the team. So you know where our head's going to go, because you remember who was, and this, I got to give credit to Ron Connect. He's our guy. He was the one that brought up when Andrew Whitworth was signed for the Rams when he was 35 years old. And to me, it's obviously a little bit different of a scenario because Andrew Whitworth is such an outlier. But I don't know, coming on that year 35 or age 35, and maybe he's not the same player that he was in 2021, but could definitely help a hurting Rams offensive line.
Yeah. I don't think he could step in and hurt what we had going on from last year at this point.
That's kind of the thought process. Yeah.
Yeah. It would just be completely out of character and unrealistic to bring him back, have sort of a homecoming moment. I mean, barring injuries, of course, but we've seen what this guy's been doing, mm-hmm. you know, when he was on the team and outside of it. And Andrew Whitworth was so prominent in both Super Bowl runs. I remember reading a story about how he was like, you know, Goff was like really young and Whitworth was kind of the guy that the offense kind of rallied around. And I think having Stafford come in and take some of that off of Whitworth was the missing piece on top of many other things that gave him the ability to push over. But that was a safety blanket, and I think Roger would be able to provide that for Stafford to feel like they can be he can be completely comfortable in the pocket. Because last year he wasn't, and he was reliant on getting the ball out fast to Cup, and it didn't work.
And, you know, I was just reading one of Jordan's articles and I was looking at David Edwards, and when he's coming off of those 2 injuries this past year, I was a little bit concerned about his future as a Ram. And it also turns out that in 2022, they had a potential opportunity to extend him. So they were actually going to pay him ahead of time before his contract expired, but they opted not to and wanted to see how he would fare in the 2022 season. Evidently, it wasn't great. It was dealing with two concussions. So if that position is completely vacant, and it seems like the Rams are moving away from signing him potentially, that to me screams out Roger Saffold. And I was just putting together some numbers. I have to look back at the tweet that I sent out, but I think roughly 2-year deal, maybe $8.5 million, maybe a little bit less, where you can get him at, you know, under a $3 million cap hit for that first year. The second year, maybe it starts to explode a little bit, but you have an opt out to get out of the contract. I just think that would be kind of serendipitous to be able to bring him back. And I do think he would be a good stopgap for the next guy.
Yeah, it does. I mean, the more you think about the Whitworth comparison, it's just kind of the greater it goes. You know, I in this day and age, 35 is still relatively young. Mm-hmm. If you can extend it like Whitworth did, I mean, honestly, I think Whitworth could have been back on the field this year and pulled into the Bengals if they gave it more of a shot. But it seemed like it was more of like a fan outreach than anything else.
You know what? Recently, I heard him talking about it, and he said he debated it because his kids are such huge Joe Burrow fans. He was like, I was kind of like waiting to see if I could, you know, if they was going to get the call, if I could potentially fit into this situation. Like he was,
dude, I think they could be in the Super Bowl right now if they make that phone call.
You're probably right. But there had to be a mutual agreement there, right? Like Whitworth had to agree that he was going to come back on his own terms. And, you know, it didn't seem like it was actually going to work out. But he said he was definitely thinking about it, which I thought was interesting.
As someone who's kind of a active Bengals hater, just because of the way that they represent themselves, and you know, to the point where they even got Mahomes being like, yeah, we don't smoke cigars here, and he never talks, he never says anything. True. And they even got under his skin a little bit because it's just pure arrogance. That would have made me immediately the biggest Bengals fan. That's not an actual fan of the team. I would be all over that.
Yeah, I would agree.
Played Whitworth, like, you know, in Madden 06. Like,
well, that's, and you know what? You're watching all the way. That's why we love Andrew Whitworth, right? Like Madden 06, there's Andrew Whitworth protecting the quarterback's blind side. Was it Carson Palmer at the time? Maybe it was before Palmer? Like it was that long ago. And I was watching a clip of, Whitworth. Was it from maybe 2008, 2009, where T.O. came back to the Bengals, and there was a play where T.O. was coming around the left side and Andrew Whitworth was out in space blocking for him like he was in 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Like, this guy is a freak of nature. And that's why I say that Andrew Whitworth's an outlier. And I don't want to compare him to Roger Saffold, because I don't think that Saffold is made up of the same, mental. Maybe, because what Andrew Whitworth did when he signed with the Rams was pretty phenomenal. He was insanely durable with the Bengals. He had only allowed 38 pressures in his final 2 years there. And for reference, by the way, if you remember Greg Robinson, who's now in jail for smuggling or trying to sell 30 pounds of weed, whatever the hell it was, nobody even knows. But Greg Robinson, when he was protecting Case Keenum's and Goff's blind side in 2016, Robinson had allowed 40 pressures. Whitworth had allowed 38 in the two previous years combined. So you were clearly getting a massive upgrade in Andrew Whitworth. And when Whit signed with the Rams in 2016, he was talking about how he wanted to not lift as heavy, which I think is really interesting. He wanted to avoid lifting really heavy. He wanted to become more flexible to extend his career. And in doing so, he got 5 more years out of it. He took on CrossFit, kickboxing, Orange Theory, was hiking mountains in Los Angeles, anything he could possibly do to keep his body active. Like, that's the kind of commitment that you would need from a 35-year-old tackle guard that's going to come to Los Angeles and play for another 5 years and win you a Super Bowl.
Get him on the Bo Bice. Shoot a deer. Carry the deer on your back, hike up a mountain, and then eat it. And
Bo Bice, Bo Jackson, Bo Bice is American Idol.
Sorry. You know what's funny? In my head, I was about to say Bo Burnham, and I was like, no, it's not Bo Burnham.
You're talking about the dude from American Idol that had the longest hair ever.
Oh my God, is that who Bo Bice is?
Yeah, that's going Bo Bice over Bo Jackson.
Sorry.
You got. You need more techno ball
on myself. I did
more techno ball, so. Less American Idol.
Yeah, sorry, my bad.
This is what happens when Ryan Seacrest gives you all these free massages. He's secretly talking in your ear. How about Bo Bice? He should have won that season, right?
Yeah, Bo Bice. Sorry, Bo. I don't know Bo. I don't know Bo.
You don't know Bo. What I'd like to mean, like, what the hell would the Rams do if McVay hadn't stuck around? To me, Nick Cayley
rebuild.
Nick Cayley and
sell.
Yeah, and Mike LaFleur and Ryan Wendell. Like, these are all guys that, like, seem like they're guys that would go out with McVay to have a beer. They seem like they're within his circle. They're one of his good friends. Like, that seems like he's building a staff that is similar to the makeup, to the methodologies that he's instilling, to the culture that he brings to the table. And I'm pretty excited to see how it all works out.
I wrote down two things. One, McVay doesn't drink beer. Probably like a vodka tonic or something.
Yeah, I would think like tequila and club.
Yeah, something that just is no calories. And then two, I don't know if we want to use the 1985 presidential Bill Clinton campaign of people that he'd want to get a beer with. I think it's more just young, fresh-minded individuals. And I mean, just to speak a little bit more on Mike LaFleur, I watched the video of the Rams. Oh, wow, look at that. There he is on my screen. I watched the video the Rams put out of him today where they kind of just do like a general interview. And they talk a lot about like the big brother, little brother energy and how it seems to kind of have rubbed off on like McVay kind of has like an older brother kind of thing with him on top of his actual brother. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I love that. Like get your brother in the room. That's somebody that you can just be completely honest with 100%. There have been episodes like this is, I'm talking like years ago now. Dean and I would do an entire episode and he'd be like, it sucked. We got to do it again. And I was like, what do you mean? He'd be like, we can't put this out. We're trash. And I'm like, we have like 300 followers. What do you mean we can't put this out? And he was right. Like 9 times out of 10, he was right. So it's good. It's good to have somebody in your corner that you know, no bullshit with. You can be straight to the fact.
And you're so right, because I don't think that I talk to any of my friends, maybe one of my very, very close friends, the same way that I talk to you. And even you and I have a relationship that's completely different from anything else in my life. And to me, if Sean McVay can have that, and it seems like he has it with both Matt and Mike LaFleur.
Yeah.
It's not just Mike. Like Matt maybe is in his eyes, his older brother, kind of similar to Kyle Shanahan, how they're Mike or Matt and Kyle are very, very similar in age. I think Matt is 42, Shanahan's 43, Mike is 36, McVay's 37, right? Like Nick Cayley is young. Ryan Wendell is young. Like all these guys, I think very much make up the same mold, right? Here's Nick Cayley. Here's Ryan Wendell. And then here's Nick, Jeremy Springer.
Are you sure that that's not Sam Bradford, Case Keenum mixed together?
I don't. Probably close. If you were to blend them together, it's probably what you get. But the reason why I bring up Jeremy Springer, and no, Nick, it's not just because he followed us on Twitter. The reason why I bring him up is because I think he's going to become the Rams' next special teams coordinator.
Let's get him on.
The reason why I say that is because I had tweeted at him and I said, let's go with an internal hire. Love what you've brought to the table over the past year. And he liked the tweet, ended up following us. To me, that feels like there's some kind of indication that one, he's sticking around, and two, that he could potentially leapfrog into a larger role. It's interesting to what his background is. He was coaching at Marshall after serving as a special teams quality coach. Quality control coach on Kevin Sumlin's staff on Texas A&M. He only has 1 year of NFL experience, but to me, again, he seems to fit that mold holistically, and it's essentially the complete opposite of what you had in Joe DeCamillis. I remember talking last year, Joe DeCamillis was like, he coached for the Jags, he coached for the Giants, he's been in the league for 37 years, and it's like, oh, we have all this experience as a special teams coordinator now. How exciting And then really the only thing that special teams unit brought to the table was Brandon Powell and Matt Gay, two guys that I think are essential in returning. And I think that Jeremy Springer, reading in the offseason prior to the season starting, had the team going through a lot of really fun drills, getting them up to speed on downing the ball with volleyballs and basketballs down on the 1 yard line. Like, I think he's creative. I think he's innovative, and he's a new follower of Rams Brothers. So to me, that screams that he is going to be the Rams' next special teams coordinator.
People are going to think that he slid into your DMs and like gave you cash to promote him. And I promise you, we're not getting paid at all.
I promise you, I didn't even go to Manhattan Beach and walk down the street. I didn't shake his hand. I didn't ride bikes with him. Nothing.
Oh, if he lives in Manhattan, tell him to give me a call. I can get down there in like 2 minutes on my bike.
Looks like he lives in Manhattan. No,
I think he does. Know. He just looks like a white guy there.
Okay, I'm not trying to say that all these guys look the same because they're white. I'm just trying to say that they're all made up of the same kind of mentality and they're all similar ages. So
I like the fresh. I like the freshness of it all. I don't think he likes your tweet if there isn't some kind of, you know, I'd like putting that out there. I think people do stuff like that. What'd they say? Crap. Sean Payton was rocking the orange tie before he like, but it was already official that he was going to be the Broncos coach, but he was on TV wearing the orange tie. And I think stuff like
it's the best you can do is hint.
Yeah, right. People love to give little, you know, Reese PC ET hints to get people to follow the breadcrumbs. So
yeah, especially like Jalen Ramsey, like, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh God, Ramsey definitely gave me an odge this offseason. I guess there's still more to come, but
Ramsey is consistently like, read between the lines, Theo. Read between the lines. It's impossible. Yeah. You can't.
Is that School of Rock?
School of Rock.
Nice.
Let's rock. Let's rock today.
Finally, Dean made a reference, and it's not just me.
And it's not a terrible one.
No, it's good.
And decent. All right. Sharp, sharp, sharp transition. Nick, uniforms.
Oh,
what's
boy.
Coming next? It's been confirmed, Nick. This is the picture that we see, right? It's been, you know, three years in the making of these uniforms, 2019, 2021, 2022. And then there was another slot to where they were going to be potentially introducing a new uniform and a new helmet combo. And it was confirmed by Kevin Demoff on the 11 Personnel podcast. So Nick, I want to get your opinion on what you think the next jersey is going to look like. I'm going to flash you some pictures. Give me your opinion on each. Here's the first.
Okay. Yeah. So this is what I want. This is what I heard a long time ago. I had a friend. I won't name any names. He worked with the Rams, and he told me that they showed him like a blueprint of where they were going with the jerseys, and he saw all the other ones. He confirmed all of them. He confirmed the white one before it came out, and he confirmed a yellow. And this was like 2020, but the fact that they held off and delayed it a year, because this was supposed to come out this year. The fact that they delayed this yellow one right here leads me to believe that they changed it up and we're no longer getting something similar to this Color Rush one. But I mean, personally, there is no other main yellow uniform in the NFL. I think it would pop. I think it'd be very LA. I think it'd be really badass. And the fact that they're doing an alternate helmet too, like that leads me to believe that the yellow is also off the table because you can have the same exact blue helmet that you wear now.
Right. Right. I don't think there would be any scenario where you reverse the yellow with the blue. You have blue horns and a yellow helmet. Maybe that's a little bit obnoxious, or maybe it's ridiculously cool if they could pull it off.
Yeah.
But I think, Nick, this is another option that I think a lot of Rams fans, I don't know if they would mind it. The jersey's already on sale. You could buy it online if you want. It's the black. What are your thoughts on the black jersey?
You know, I think it's cool. It reminds me of the Black Mamba Kobe jerseys that the Lakers went out. I was gifted a LeBron Black Mamba jersey. It's super badass. I've actually worn it to Rams games. I think it's really, really cool. I feel like if they release it, there's going to be a huge backlash because it's just another black uniform and people don't really like that. And, but you know, black helmet and black jersey, black pants, like sign me up. Like,
yeah, yeah.
New era, like push me into the future. Like, let's do it. I think that's cool. And I think there was talks, there was weird talks about Bobby Wagner talking about how he was pushing for a black uniform in Seattle and they just never listened to him. And then like what, after they signed him, they're like, yeah, you know, we'll see what we can do about this. So I don't know if they want to appease Bobby Wagner, if he's like this, like lifelong Ram, if he, but I mean,
no. I don't know what's going to happen there with Bobby Wagner. Maybe he's trying to get, you know, one of the, maybe he's trying to get Demoffs here and he's trying to convince him to change it up last second. If it is yellow and he wants to go black, to me, this just doesn't, like, it doesn't look right. Like, I don't think the black looks good with the blue. Like, it looks good with the yellow, but to me, it just seems so far away from what I'm accustomed to, and it makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
That's fair. It's a lot. But if you strip the blue entirely and you go black and yellow, I mean, then you're just the Steelers.
Then you're the Steelers, right? Right. Yeah, I don't know. The black is just. I think that would be my last choice.
To me, the yellow is really the only option. But do you have any more pictures, or are you done?
I do.
Oh yeah.
See, what do you think of Merlin Olsen here?
This one, it'd be cool to, like, you know, step backwards. Those were the helmets that they wore in that 2018 NFC Championship game. But also, I mean, I don't really want to go backwards. I'd rather go forwards. This is okay. And it's again, it's a little like the Colts. Like, it's just blue and white. Like,
did they wear the white helmets in the NFC Championship?
In the in the 2018, they wore the white helmets
against the on the road against the Saints.
Yeah,
really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know why that never stuck out to me.
Yeah, they wore the white and the dark blue.
Hmm. Yeah, to me, I think that this is a really cool look. I think if you can somehow incorporate the yellow and not, you know, not do the Fibonacci sequence or whatever the hell it's called with the disconnected horn.
No, I think that's definitely staying.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's going to be interesting is I think this would be a cool throwback, and I love the blue and white. I like the way that the helmet looks. If you can match the royal on the helmet with the jerseys, I think would be fantastic, but we'll see. And this is, I think, the furthest from a potential option. Unfortunately.
I just said I don't want to go back into the past, but this is what I grew up with. I freaking love the St. Louis dark blue and gold. I mean, especially because Aaron Donald has, like, been a part of that and has been with us. And now they want to act like that Super Bowl. You know, we have the banner from the St. Louis Super Bowl and we have the LA Rams Super Bowl banner, both of them hanging up. It's like they kind of want to distance themselves from St. Louis, but now that they're, like, past it, I feel like they're almost like, well, you know, we can bring everybody on. If they were to do that with the disconnected helmet, like, keep it, like, sharp.
You're saying to redo it? Yeah.
Yeah, like, similar, but redo it. Because if you go to a Rams game, there are a lot of fans that still have those jerseys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot. I think that would be by far the coolest, and that's just me personally. But you brought up a really good point when we were texting about this. You're like, they're not going to do that because they want to sell jerseys and people already have that color. So why would they, you know, why would they go?
Yeah, it's a business of money. If you introduce a yellow jersey that kind of matches the modern throwback look, even if it outsells the bone, like you tried the bone, you tried the royal, right? Like all these different combinations.
And yellow. Yeah. Yellow makes the most sense to me. Also, they release, like, kids yellow jerseys. I mean, I love the bone. I'm actually right now, I'm standing up so you guys can see this. I'm wearing my bone LA Rams pants that I got after they announced the, which are like my favorite shorts ever.
The bone. I was big on the bone yard as it was released.
I still think the bone is awesome, but weirdly enough, it reminds me of the 2020 Rams.
Yeah, it reminds me of the COVID season.
Yeah, yeah. Because I felt like they played some really good games in those bone jerseys. Like the bone in the blue pants. It doesn't remind me of the Stafford era at all, because that's when they
were
all
the
white ones, and they were like,
I think the divisional round against the Packers, they wore the bone in the final game of the 2020 season.
I think they might have went bone, like two in a row.
Yeah, I think you might be right. And I think that, because I remember Goff in the bone against the Seahawks.
Yeah, and I remember the most memorable game to me from that season was the Tampa game in Tampa, and it was at night.
And they were wearing the bones.
And they were rocking those bones, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, good memories in the bone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame they only wore them twice last year. We'd like to see them around more often.
Yeah, at least like throw it, like incorporate the bone pants even, you know?
I mean, at this point, you may as well go old throwback. You may as well go St. Louis jersey. May as well go bone, then go yellow, then go modern. Like, who cares?
It's just annoying how the Chargers can whip up like every single era. Oh, they have seven options.
Most copycat thing in the world.
Yeah.
That was obnoxious when they were like, yeah, let's just release four different jerseys with four different shades of blue, disregarding any kind of color scheme that our next door neighbors have. Kind of annoying. All right, I'm ready for Knicks picks.
I hate them. All right, are we? You just want to go right into Knicks picks?
I'm ready for Knicks picks.
Okay, here, let me pull them up. I wish I had a theme song. I just thought about it. I'm sorry, everybody. We'll get a theme song going later.
Life is busy. All good.
Yeah, so headed into the Knicks picks, we got a little luck from the Mario right here.
I love it.
Mario meets Mario. I went to McDonald's because they had these Mario toys and a grown man ordering Happy Meals. I got the Mario in the cart, the Toad in the cart. I'm just getting all my trinkets together for good luck. And I got Luma, which is also kind of a spoiler. We didn't know Mario Galaxy was going to be in this movie. And then Luma shows up as one of the toys. Interesting to say the least. But we're going to start off strong with a pick from the Puppy Bowl. I like Team Fluff at +900. Absolutely annihilating that line if you can find it. Bandit and Moo Cow on Team Fluff, both of their MVP odds are +3,000. Worth a sprinkle.
What the hell is that?
That's a real thing.
Puppy Bowl. It's funny. The commercial Team Puff, that they Team do. Fluff. Yeah, the Chihuahua in the commercial that they do, they almost have it like it. I don't even know what the hell it looks like. Like, it's like slow motion. The dog kind of like gets his head in focus in the last second. It's like Puppy Bowl, slow motion. What the hell am I watching here?
Team Fluff, +900, official Knicks picks lock. I saw it at +900, so I'm just going to take it. Let me just say one more thing. We're not sponsored by anything, but the Puppy Bowl, you can adopt any of the puppies in the Puppy Bowl. Oh. Always adopt, go to your local shelter, get a dog. But let's get into the real nitty gritty of Knicks picks. Dean, what's your lock?
Oh, no. I need a lock?
Yeah, Dean's lock of the week. Come on. I forgot
how this game works. My two picks that I have written down are not locks by any stretch of the imagination. I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl MVP as my lock.
So then Chiefs money line. I mean, do you want to parlay them?
Yeah, I would parlay them. Yeah, I'd parlay that as a lock.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a lock to me. I'm going to start with two things before I get into like the fun prop bets, because I think it should be noted that I am fully in support of the Philadelphia Eagles. I want them to win the Super Bowl. I have a lot of friends and family in my life, both of us, that are huge Eagles fans. Like we said on the podcast before, I almost texted Poppy to see if he wanted to hop on because he's a giant Eagles fan, our grandfather. But
oh, well,
I don't know
that.
If he'd be able to
well, it's
figure
like,
it out.
The camera and everything would be a very difficult dynamic. Yeah.
That being said, boy, I mean – Mahomes goes just paint the picture. Like, you want to look when you bet, you want to look at things in foresight retrospect. So essentially, like, man, how did we not see that? Mahomes going to three Super Bowls and winning one of three. Mm-hmm. Like, that just doesn't, you know, he's going to lose two in a row. Like, he went and then he wins. And he goes again, and he loses, and he's going to go for a third time. He's going to lose this third one.
And you know what? Then you start to get into the Jordan LeBron comparisons, because everybody wants to compare him to Brady and they want to call Mahomes the GOAT. Tom Brady never lost two consecutive Super Bowls? Did he? Don't think so.
Was there one in between the
Giants?
The two he lost to the Giants.
Maybe that could be consecutive. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I think I
somebody
I
fact check us on that.
Yeah, I think he did lose two in a row.
Maybe he did.
But anyway, my comparison with Mahomes is I think Brady is LeBron, you know, greatest of all time, greatest career.
Oh, like, no. You don't think Jordan's the greatest of all time?
No, not no. LeBron is by far the GOAT. but I think Mahomes is Curry, man. I think he's Steph Curry. You know, it's like during the LeBron era, he's still gonna get his. And yeah. The Warriors just won this past year, and they did it with a lot less than they usually do. And it would just be a perfect parallel to see Mahomes do it with less and it'd be like, oh yeah, you know, he's got some Curry in him, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that being said, I don't like him as Super Bowl MVP. I think the Chiefs, one of my plays from last week or 2 weeks ago now was Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
So if you have that in, if you've been following Nick's picks, I'll give you something to do right now where you kind of win no matter what, essentially. So you have that in. You have 100 to win 230 because that's what it was. Now, here's what you could do to hedge. You could take the Eagles tease. You take the Eagles, you tease the over down. So you get the over to over 43.5. And then you can take the Eagles to +5. So that way the Chiefs could win. You could find that little perfect mold where the Eagles lose, but they lose in that 5 and the score is over 43.5. And the Chiefs win. And then both bets succeed. There's a small fraction where the Eagles win and it's still under 43.5 points. But
yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the probability of that is super low. But
is that what the over under is? It's 43.5?
No. Because I bought 6 points.
Gotcha.
That's
what it's so it's 49.5.
Yeah.
Got it.
But it's moving up fast.
Oh, fast. I could imagine. So I think the last six unders hit. In all the last six Super Bowls, Rams game went under last year.
Yeah, but the Chiefs' lowest scoring game this season was 17 points.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
But there's a lot of great arguments to just take Eagles money line. I mean, their pass rush is insane. And I don't think a QB or a team has ever won with a QB taking more than like a 13% hit to the cap, which is where the Chiefs are right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's interesting, but so my pick right now would be that tease. I'm taking over 43.5 Eagles +5 tease. I still have the Kansas City Super Bowl bet in place. And then some fun props. I'm taking red Gatorade. Chiefs had red/orange because the Chiefs had that when they won. So I'm just playing this as if the Chiefs win. Yeah. And then my last thing is I'm going to take two. It's going to be a fun little parlay. Miles Sanders touchdown parlayed with Travis Kelce touchdown. Miles Sanders +115, Travis Kelce -175. I think you can honestly go ham and put like $500 on Travis Kelce anytime touchdown scorer, because I just don't see a world
where
it doesn't get in the red zone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's got to be -200 at this point.
Maybe it's going up, but.
Yeah, I like them both. What about Super Bowl MVP? You can't pick Hurts, can't pick Mahomes. Who do you got for MVP? Kelce?
Let me think.
Getting good defense, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, in our family chat with our cousins, they love Reddick at like +3,000.
Yeah, hometown guy.
Who's the big Eagles receiver? AJ Brown?
Yeah, AJ Brown.
That would be my pick.
You go AJ Brown. That's not bad.
Yeah.
I want to give you my two dark horses if you're open to it. This could be an avenue towards a very, very nice payday on the Super Bowl. Frank Clark, Super Bowl MVP dark horse for me. He only needs three sacks to break the record for most all-time sacks in the postseason. So he gets three sacks and the Chiefs win the game. He breaks the record and Mahomes throws two picks. To me, that's like, okay, let's give it to Frank Clark.
Yeah. And let me just say,
he's plus 10,000, Nick. So it would be $10 to win $1,010.
Place that for me and you.
That's what I'm saying. Why not?
Yeah, just put that in. I'll Venmo you $10 right after this episode.
Honestly. Yeah, and Chris Jones is another one. Like, Chris Jones has way better odds. I think he's plus 4,000 compared to plus 10,000. But I think in terms of the edge rushers for the Chiefs and some of the interior defense alignment, they're going to be the ones that could win that game if they can catch up with Jalen Hurts. Potentially. And then on the other side for the Eagles, I have Kenny Gainwell at the exact same odds. Now, this is a Hail Mary in every stretch of the word. He's the last running back to win Super Bowl MVP was Terrell Davis in 1998. So Gainwell to me has shown twice in the postseason that I feel like he's capable of keeping a drive alive. He's capable of controlling a full series. He's capable of breaking one 60, 70 yards, but he's going to have to do some magical shit in order to win the Super Bowl MVP. So I like those two guys, Frank Clark and Kenny Gainwell, as dark horses. Seems like you could afford $5 to potentially win, you know, 500, right? If you need to. Why not?
And then, you know, I'm going to take Rihanna's first song to be Umbrella.
Very smart. Very smart.
Just like think about what is the Rihanna song? And I think it's Umbrella, I guess. I mean, she has so many. It's just so many. But I think she's coming out. I think she's coming out to Umbrella. That's just my call.
Umbrella. What are some of her other songs? Disturbia, Pond the Replay.
S&M.
S&M.
Shut Up and Drive.
I love Shut Up and Drive.
Yeah.
I'm a big Rihanna fan. Massive, massive Rihanna fan.
Higher. Ugh.
Great song. Her whole last album, I think it was like, what was it called? Anti?
Maybe? Yeah.
2016.
Yeah, it was like 2018 or like 2016. Oh, yeah,
long time ago. But, you know, other responsibilities, just had a kid. I think the Super Bowl performance is going to be awesome. Not going to compare to seeing Snoop and Dre and 50 and Eminem, everybody live with The Rock announcing them. That was fucking sick.
You're Los Angeles Rams! How about 2 years in a row, Dean? You've seen the Super Bowl halftime show performers live because me and you saw Rihanna and we saw Eminem together in concert.
That's true.
And then last year was Eminem, and now this year it's Rihanna. I've
seen Rihanna alone, just Rihanna. Travis Scott opened for her, but Rihanna too.
And Kesha opened up for her, right?
I don't know if I was at that one.
I was at that one at the.
I was at one
at the Bank Center.
Yeah, but all great, great performances. I'm in for it. This year is different for me because I get to watch some of the commercials. I get to relax, have some chicken wings. Like last year, I was not relaxed. No. I was starving my ass off. I was like, "Where's the cheeseburger sub?" That's all I wanted. But I prevailed.
Oh, dude, I didn't. We went to name drop Uncle Bill's Diner in Manhattan Beach, which is like my favorite place to get breakfast in this little town I live in, Manhattan Beach. I mean, I live in Redondo, so don't judge me, but still. I didn't eat. I couldn't eat a single bite of that food. The only thing I did that day was guzzle down beers.
Because you're so nervous all day.
I was so nervous.
Yeah, it's stressful because you're waiting 2 weeks. Like I'm thinking 5-6 hours on the plane from the East Coast to the West Coast thinking about the game. Thinking about the whole season, thinking about how I was on a plane on my way to Greece for the first game of the year, watching Stafford with a connection on the flight to the airline Wi-Fi, throw touchdown passes against the Bears. And then I watched the game against the Colts in a Greece hotel room with my shirt off, sweating because we had to switch hotel rooms. And it just, you know, just incredible memories that come along with last season. And I'll never forget it. It was my favorite season as a fan ever. And we're doing the podcast and it's just a blast. It really is.
Being together on the day of the Super Bowl last year was just so cool.
We knew they were going to do it. So,
and then one more bet I'm going to take Isaiah Pacheco anytime touchdown score, show a little love to our Vineland, New Jersey friends, you know, from a hometown very close to Dean and I. So I'm probably going to sprinkle a little bit on that.
Isaiah Pacheco, anytime touchdown score, seventh round pick.
Yeah.
From New Jersey. Why not? Why not? Love it. Love it. Can't wait for the Super Bowl.
I'm excited, man. I'm really stoked. So let's have a good time. I'm going to give a go Birds. I would love to see the Eagles win. So let's enjoy it. It feels so nice not to be stressed.
Exactly. No stress. No stress at all. Just enjoy the game. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends and relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys have been the best. Like, subscribe, be a part of the movement. This is Rams Brothers.
Wait, hold on.
And I think Nick, two things.
Dean, do the ad read real fast, and then I'm going to bring out something fun.
Sure. Sounds good. Bet Online, where the game starts. Make sure that you are continuing to use Bet Online as your continued source for all sports wagering information. You bet on the Super Bowl. If you join betonline.ag, you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Deposit 50, there's $100 in your account. Throw it on Mahomes to win the Super Bowl. Throw it on Frank Clark to win Super Bowl MVP, whatever the hell you want. BetOnline.ag is where you need to be. And you make sure to use promo code, if I could ever find it.
BLEAV, baby. Believe. Not the baby part, just BLEAV.
Just BLEAV. And join the movement. All right, Nick, what's the other thing?
So my friend last year, one of my colleagues and the people that I work with, actually worked the Super Bowl last year, and he gave me this box, which I have filled with on the field. It's stickers right here. It says on field Super Bowl champions Rams hats that I'm going to be giving away. The first giveaway that we're going to do is you're going to subscribe, like this video, and then tweet a picture of you subscribed. And just tag at Rams Brothers on Twitter with that. And we're going to randomly select somebody by Monday next week. And I'm going to be sending you one of these great hats, Dean. I'll save one for you. So I can give it to you next time I see you. I got a good amount of these puppies. So it's going to be a fun off season as I get to, ship these out to everybody. So
yeah,
we'll value that like probably, I don't know, $35 right now.
We'll do fun giveaways throughout the off season. This will be the first one.
Subscribe, show me that you're subscribed, take a picture of it, tweet it at Rams Brothers, and you're good to go. And if you're so, you have to be subscribed and following. But yeah, great. Thanks, guys.
We love you guys. Go Rams, go Birds, go Chiefs, whatever the hell you want. Love you.
Enjoy.
Peace.
Peace.